going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Door. Hello, D.
Hello, boys.
Daryl, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. All right. So you're going to be with us for a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of a tiny round table with you here. So
is it a tiny round table?
It's a tiny. It's a very, very small. It's almost like
what would make it a big round table?
Well, we're using TV trays instead of a boardroom. Huh. Is that okay? Is that all right for you, Daryl?
Dee, does that work?
I'm indifferent on the matter. It's your show. Whatever you want to do works for
me. Isn't it our show?
Not really.
Why, did you bring pizza? If you brought pizza.
My show's on Sundays, Jeff.
Oh, all right. I see how you feel about the podcast
there
now, Jeff.
Go.
Yeah, he's jilted me. By the way, there is a brand new It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast that is available right now, and we suggest listening to it at 2 o'clock because it just sounds better at 2. It's just much, much more crisper. 216-474-0092. Daryl will also take calls if you have Browns questions for him as well. So, Daryl, you're in on the mix on this. First of all, give me your reaction to what the Browns did last night.
Not surprised. It was a pretty smart move made by Andrew Berry. I think he kind of took the Jaguars for a ride, getting their 2026 first-round pick. But also at the same time, you gave up an opportunity to take a blue-chip player in Travis Hunter. So they go Mason Graham at 5 instead to fortify the defensive line along with Myles Garrett there. They basically control the front end of day two here with picks 33 and 36. But I think that it was a real honest assessment of where the organization is when it comes to their actual roster and their ability to contend.
Was Mason Graham the right pick at 5? Ashton Jeanty was sitting there.
Yeah, I would probably say yeah, because I anticipate with one of the 4 picks that they have going into tonight, Jeff, one of those selections is going to be a running back.
Agreed, yep.
So for as great as Ashton Jeanty is, I can't be too upset at them for not making that particular selection. And again, one of the things that we're always talking about is, you know, pairing up Myles Garrett with impact guys in the trenches up front there. And, you know, Mason Graham, at least on paper and based on the Browns' evaluations and what Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry talked about last night, on paper, it seems the Browns have found some help for Myles.
What do you think, Myles? Was this the plan they told Myles about what they did last night? Like, that went through my mind last night.
I have no idea. I mean, I saw the video that the Browns put out on their socials of Mason getting a text message from Myles and him responding to it or whatnot. Clearly Myles is excited about the selection, and that's all, you know, well and good. I just hope that tonight ends up being an evening that's really offensive driven, because the offense is putrid. And they
it's a great word.
They they need a tremendous amount of help on that side of the ball. And I don't think the quarterback is in the running here. I think that they're going to save that for 2026. Again, don't believe what they say. Believe what they do. And I think that the Browns' actions this offseason, and then again Thursday night, told fans an awful lot about how they really feel about the state of affairs.
All right, so clearly and what do you think the impetus was for them to say yes on that? Was it the, you know, do you think they kept going back, oh, we want that first-round pick next year. We want that first-round pick next year. You got to give us – like, how do you – I wonder how the whole thing went down.
Yeah, I mean, there were other trades last night where 2026 first-round picks were involved a little down the line, and I was a little surprised by that. I honestly think that the Browns got a haul in that trade with Jacksonville. I think Barry did a nice job earlier in the day as well with the Houston Texans, you know, flipping a couple of sixth-round picks and a seventh-round pick into a fifth-round pick this year and a fifth-round pick in 2027. But when you look at this Jaguars trade, you know, they basically trade one first-rounder, a fourth-rounder, and a sixth-rounder to Jacksonville. They get two ones, a second, and a fourth. I think that's pretty good. And what they have done now is they have positioned themselves to be able to make moves in 2026. If there is a franchise quarterback that they want to go after in the draft, they don't have to lose their way, into that number one overall pick. They have the ammunition to go get it. They can give up, you know, three first-rounders and then some to be able to go do that. You give up the two 2026 first-rounders that you got there, and you give up your 2027 first-rounder, because there's no price too big to pay to have your franchise quarterback. But as Andrew Berry admitted last night, they got to hit the picks. Like, this isn't the first time the Browns have done this, and this is why fans are frustrated this morning or this afternoon. It's because the Browns have done this time and time again, and it's never worked. It's never paid the dividends that have been expected. And so what evidence is there to support the notion that, oh, well, this time it's going to be different. This time they're going to get the picks right. This time they're going to cash this in. Yeah, it was a smart move. I can't criticize Andrew Berry for doing something that I suggested back in January that he do. But
did he give you props for that last night, by the way? I wasn't planning on this, but I heard what Daryl Ryder said on 92.3 The Fan. It changed my whole world. It was an epiphany.
I got to say, he might have been better off throwing my butt under the bus than anything last night. But no, he did not blame or credit me for what he did. But I get the fans' disappointment today. I really do. But I also understand the reasoning behind what the Browns did and the need behind what the Browns did.
Daryl Ryder joining us. And if you want to chime in and have anything you want to ask Daryl, Andy, me, just by all means, 216-474-0092. Riddle me this one, my friend. What if a quarterback that the Browns kind of had, you know, earmarked anyway is still sitting there right now? Milrow, Chuck, Sanders, clearly the three guys that are there. Do you take one of those guys, even though you have the ammo for next year, not knowing what next year could bring? Daryl, it wouldn't stun me if they did take a quarterback. I mean, I agree with you. It smells like no, but it wouldn't stun me if they did, and then maybe end up with the guy who's their future quarterback already, and then next year you have two number ones to go get additional talent to help the team.
I have never been more disinterested in a quarterback class than I was this year. So, no, I wouldn't. I would stack the roster. You know what I would do? I would fortify that offense so when you go get your quarterback next year, there's actually a supporting cast around him. Because I'll just look at the offensive line. You have two off-injured tackles, DeJuan Jones and Jack Conklin. Joel Bitonio is going to retire. Have to decide what you're going to do with Wyatt Teller as well, okay? You're talking a major overhaul on an offensive line could be incoming. And, oh, by the way, you're going to throw a rookie quarterback into that mix? So there's And there's not much in the way of a supporting cast. You've got Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, and, well, quite frankly, that's it around them. So that's what I would like to see with these four picks tonight is forget the quarterback, get a throw something against the wall guy later, Will Howard, and go ahead and try and stack that offensive room with as many players as you can tonight to help said rookie quarterback when you do pick him and trade for him in 2026.
All right, Daryl, let's take a couple phone calls while you're on the line. If you have questions for Daryl or me or Jeff, we're all right here. So 216-474-0092. Let's start with Jim in Lyndhurst. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, the thing is, if the Browns don't take a quarterback at two, you know, you say why? It's because later on, you know, it's not much of a reach. You know, for example, you take Henderson, you know, later because that's why you didn't take him earlier because it's less of a reach later on, like right now.
Okay, Jim, I don't know, Daryl, I don't think it's a reach. I think Henderson is exactly where he should be. It's a running back. It's tough to draft a running back, right? I mean, Genty got drafted, but we all kind of know
where. Not in the second or third round, it's
no,
not.
No, I know, but it is easier to draft. Right, Daryl? What he said 100%,
was. Well, yeah. Nick Chubb, second round pick, right? Joel Bitonio, early, second round pick. Like, you can get great players. And, oh, by the way, as Andrew Berry put it, sweet spot of the draft, Browns have two picks, 33-36. So that's the other advantage. Not only do you position yourself to get a player tomorrow, but you're positioned now to add a player that you couldn't add before you made that trade. So it's incumbent upon Berry to make the right pick. But, yeah, if they take Henderson 33-36, I won't bat an eye. In fact, I'll give him a standing ovation.
Daryl, before we go back to the phones, is next year's starting quarterback on this team right now?
No. I don't think so.
Does that mean it's Kirk Cousins?
What do you mean? Like they would trade for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Did I say next year's or did I say this year's?
You said next year's. You said
okay.
Next year's.
All right. Is this year's starting quarterback on the team right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think they're going to draft someone in the middle rounds to be a development guy. Again, see if there's something there.
Yep. Take a chance.
It's going to be the Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett show.
Okay. All right.
Nick is in Aurora. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Nick.
You're on the line with Daryl, too.
I have a thought. First of all, last night I thought was very smart, very well played by Andrew Berry.
So you loved it? Did you love it, hate it, or let's see?
Well, I really wanted to have Abdul Carter, but I think the way that what we got from Jacksonville, you couldn't pass that up. There's no way you could pass that up.
Agreed.
Very smart to build for the future. Which brings me to my next point. What do you guys think about trading away the number 33rd pick to the Chicago Bears for their 39 and 41, which would then in turn give us picks 36, 39, and 41. That way, I feel like we could, I think the Bears would take Travion Henderson at 33, which would leave us with Judkins. And then we take a receiver, kid out of Iowa State, Higgins or Luther Burden, and then pick 41. I have no clue. But what do you guys think about that trade?
Nick, thank you. What the point there was is they wanted two guys, right?
The point is if the Bears really want Travion Henderson and they want to move up to get him and you could get two number twos at the top of the second round, Daryl, had three guys in the second round on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Caleb Johnson is there. I mean, you might love Henderson, but Caleb Johnson's looking like a pretty good running back.
I'll be honest with you, though. I'd rather just take some players.
I would, too, at this point.
I would rather control my destiny than wait to see where the board falls for me in those spots.
Yeah, and is it a coin flip between Judkins and Henderson? That's the other question. If maybe you like Judkins and the word is out that you're going to draft Henderson, then maybe you – I mean, that's the only way I'm doing that deal is that if it's a coin flip.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible idea, okay? I don't want him to think like I'm just raining on his parade. It's not a bad thought. But now I'm at the point of let's control the destiny here and take the player at 33, take the player at 36. Let's not get cute and be at the mercy of moving down again and then whatever is left over for us, that's what we're going to get the pick from. So,
gotcha. All right. Questions for Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. He's with us for another segment or just thoughts and reaction to what the Browns are doing as we head into rounds 2 and 3 tonight and what they did last night in round one. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With all the latest breaking news during your workday, or if you're out on the go, whatever you're doing, stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder, our Browns Beat reporter, nice enough to join us for another segment. Daryl, I want to throw this at you, and we're going to go back to the phones here in a couple seconds. If you have questions for Daryl as well, we'll put you on the air with Daryl. I want to read this to you. According to Michael Silver of The Athletic, Jags general manager James Gladstone and Browns general manager Andrew Berry hammered out the deal that they had last night on April 7th, but it included two contingencies. Firstly, the trade could only be finalized if the Tennessee Titans or another team took Miami quarterback Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. Had Ward fallen to number two, the Browns would have kept the pick and taken him. Daryl, your reaction to that?
Not surprising.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, they tried to get up to one to take him. So,
yeah, how do you think that played out? Like, I wonder what they had to offer to get him to get them to one, and how many years would we have gone without a number one pick?
Well, if you're the Tennessee Titans and you got a chance to get your franchise quarterback, there is no price you're willing to accept to pass on that. Because they know what we all know, right?
Got to have one.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to have one.
Can't win without one.
Nope.
At least at a high level, you might be able to get away with it for a year, but if you really want to be a contender, you got to have a franchise quarterback. So. To me, the interesting part of that Silver report was that the deal was agreed to on April 7th.
Right.
Which then puts into context some of the things that Andrew Berry said in his pre-draft press conference last week, comparing Travis Hunter to Shohei Ohtani and basically a unicorn, all those type of things, right? And those comments now all of a sudden make sense. His way of just reassuring Jacksonville that the deal that they agreed to is a very smart one. For them, right? Mm-hmm. Because Andrew Berry did very good in this trade. He tends to do really, really good in trades. Not all of them, but for the most part, I would say his biggest strength as a GM is not signing free agents and it's not drafting players. It's making trades. He's very good at it. And in my view, I think he got a pretty sizable pound of flesh out of the Jaguars just to move down a couple of spots. And get arguably the best defensive tackle still in this draft class.
Last thought before we hit the phones, Daryl. Do you think that Andrew Berry was just overwhelmed with what Jacksonville ended up giving the Browns in this deal? Or were the Browns not completely sold on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter?
I don't think this was about Abdul Carter. I don't think this was about Travis Hunter.
It was about the haul, huh?
It's about them recognizing the state of their roster. It's old, it's overpaid and expensive, and they don't have a lot of salary cap room to play with. And you have lots of holes to fill. And what is the most economical way to do that? It's through the draft.
Young players.
It's their way of doing a rebuild without having to say the word, right? And announce it to the world.
Yeah.
'Cause all you got to see is what they're doing. They're doing a rebuild right now. Now, they're not doing a burn it down to the studs gut job like they did in 2014, 15, 16, 17, right? This is more of a, we got some pieces and parts here, but we are not nearly as close as we're trying to convince ourselves that we are. Again, what they're doing is smart, but hopefully there's a payoff this time around because, again, this is not the first time the Browns have done this.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Eric is in Cleveland. Eric, you're on with Baskin and Phelps and Daryl Ryder.
Yes. Yeah, guys, I would just like to ask Daryl, have you actually taken a look at any of these quarterbacks that are coming out all
or are you just going according to what the other analysts are saying? Because you keep talking about
they're not good. Only two guys got drafted in the first round. They're not good.
Can I finish, please?
Sure,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you keep talking about Arch Manning and putting all your eggs in the basket for next year. Arch Manning barely plays, so what are you basing it on, his pedigree? I just don't understand it. You know, I would rather
they watch the tape.
Have you watched the tape? Was my question.
Yeah, I've watched. I'm not all that impressed with any of these guys. I watched these guys live, and I wasn't impressed.
Okay, you say you watched.
32 teams said three of the top five quarterbacks stink. They're not first-round picks. What else do you want?
Daryl's yelling at people. Daryl, we don't yell at people on this show. Hi, Eric.
You don't have to yell to get your point across. Yeah, but I mean, if you had actually watched them, you're talking about what other people are saying. Your point would be more valid if you had watched them yourself and said, no, I'm not.
I just got to tell you, I watched them myself. I wasn't impressed. What part of that didn't you understand?
Eric, let me ask you one last question, especially if you've already made that turn, because I heard your turn signal going crazy there. Did you love last night, hate last night, or let's see?
I liked it. The thing is that, you know, I've heard people also say that Mason Graham, they would love to see him. Beforehand, they would love to see him next to Myles Garrett. And they said that would be an awesome combination.
There you go. All right, Eric, thank you. Appreciate your phone call.
Can I throw this out?
Sure, without yelling.
I don't think Eric's going to be calling Daryl's Sunday show.
Yes, he is. He will. That'd be a great shtick, the two of those guys.
Don't tell me. Yeah, no. I get mad when people, did you watch the tape? Yeah, I watched it. I watched the same thing that the 32 other teams watched. They're not first-round picks.
Which is why
I've been telling you all off season, these guys are not first round pick. Guess what? Shadur Sanders still on the board, not a first round pick.
Second
and his
highest.
Dad is crying. Well, he's got a target on his back because his name's. No, the only reason people are talking about being a first round pick is because he's your kid.
One way or another, you can see that both ways. I can see both ways.
Why do I still think Jalen Milroe could end up here tonight?
Tommy Rees.
Yeah. Is that valid?
Relationships matter.
Yeah, I think so too, Daryl.
Zach is in a car. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Don't get yelled at.
Yeah, don't get yelled at.
All right, so before I get yelled at.
Just don't accuse me of not watching and doing my homework, and I won't get mad at you.
Here's my thoughts. So I was one of those Browns fans that was like, oh, here we go again when they traded down. I was like, here we go again. But at the end of the day, I thought about it. I slept on it. And I think it was an amazing move. Number one, we got a blue-chip defensive tackle. We set ourselves up for today and for a way better draft class and a potentially a top 10, top 15 pick next year. That's my first thing. I think at the end of the day, looking at all these reactions, I think Browns fans have PTSD from when we missed out on Julio Jones and drafted Phil Taylor. I think that's the first thing people think about when they think about this draft and what happened. I think, though, at the end of the day as well, that the Browns had a higher chance of mismanaging Travis Hunter and there's no blueprint for a player like him. So I think that they had a higher chance of mismanaging him and getting fired because of that than actually getting it right. So I think at the end of the day, we got our defensive line bulked up and we put ourselves in a way better position moving into the future.
All right, Zach, love it, hate it, or let's see.
I love it. I'm excited to see what happens next.
All right, thank you, Zach. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we mentioned the Julio thing earlier.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Daryl? We have PTSD?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Browns have done this like six other times, and it's never worked. So I get why Browns fans are mad. Because
Corey Coleman didn't do it for you, huh?
Year after year after year, the Browns pass on what are thought to be surefire can't-miss guys in the name of more picks, right?
Yeah.
Need volume to rebuild the team, which... There's nothing wrong with that philosophy. And where they are now, yeah, they need guys. But Browns fans are tired of watching all these guys get picked and passed over by the Browns and become Hall of Famers and win Super Bowls and all that, or compete for Super Bowls at least. And the Browns are rebuilding year after year after year after year. So I totally get why Browns fans are frustrated and upset at what they did last night. I totally get it.
Chuck is in Atlanta. Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Charles.
I'm good, sir. Yourself?
Good. For a second, I thought you might be Charles Barkley because you're in Atlanta. It's okay.
No, listen, I'm traveling. I live in the greater Cleveland area all my life.
Okay.
Cleveland sports fan, longtime listener.
Good res. Yep.
Thank you.
First time caller.
Awesome. Nice. We're happy to have you
now
on board.
We're talking.
So look, I love what I saw last night, and I love it for various reasons, but I don't think you guys are giving enough credit to the Browns ownership and Barry. Look, why couldn't they have planned this? Everything they did. Think about it. They didn't want Shador. They knew they were going to trade, especially within a few days of the draft. Barry Smart. He was selling it all day long, but to the Jaguars.
We just read the report that said that this thing was in place on April 7th. So, and if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Now, do you want to go 50-50 on an owner who said that they swung and missed on the biggest move that they made? So that might be why you're not giving the owner credit. And to be honest with you, the owner probably doesn't need to get credit here. He just needs to sit in the background and make sure that they get the players that can help. We can't go through another one of these swing and miss deals or trying to bring in a player because of their last name. They need quality football players, 15.2 points per game. I'm not handing out accolades until another year.
Okay, but look, we finally got an owner that's got deep pockets.
Sure.
He came to the table. He admitted his fault.
Yep.
He is in a position where he's building in Cuyahoga County, or at least trying to,
right,
put a dome there in a world-class facility right next to an international airport. How does it get any better than that? And we tear this poor guy down daily. We don't need to do that. We need to count our blessings, look forward, and give our staff some credit. Stefanski, again, coach of the year twice. Barry, he's intelligent.
Chuck, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you sometimes. They're coming off of a 3-win season. It's hard to give that team a lot of credit for a really bad year. And you, and as Browns fans, and look, we have said all morning, Jeff and I have said, this looks like a really good deal. I like it. I like what we've seen. We do need to let it play out a little bit, but if you think we're going to sit here for 4 hours and give just glowing remarks to the entire front office and ownership, it's not there. They're a 3-win team. They average 6 points per game the last three games.
And they still don't have skill position
talent.
They
have a lot of work to do.
And why are we a 3-win team? Because we went out, we got a quarterback that had some deficiencies, a lot of them personally, but he was there for the bag.
We mortgaged a decade of football is what it feels like. Chuck, thank you for the phone call, though. We do appreciate you chiming in, and we'll talk again soon. I'm happy with what they did. Daryl, final thought here because we only have like a minute left, but your reaction to that phone call.
They've had three losing seasons in 5 years. So let's hold off on the statue building and parade holding for these guys just yet.
No, it's a good start. I like what they did last night. I mean, it's fair to give them credit.
Let's see how they follow it up tonight.
I want to give them credit for this. And by the way, I've said probably 100 times over the last 2-3 months that I actually can see, you can see where the growth is in ownership. He stepped out and said we swung and missed. He didn't have to do it, but he did. We all thought it, but he admitted it. So, all right, Daryl, any parting shots or parting words for our friends?
Admitting you made the mistake was the easy part. Not doing it again, that's the hard part, and I don't think that's a lesson they've learned just yet.
Ooh, Daryl Ryder, dropping wisdom. Thank you, Daryl. It's always game day in Cleveland. Watch the podcast right now, right?
Thanks, D.
I think so.
Or 2
o'clock. I think it's available on YouTube now.
All right, 2 o'clock is much better.
Better.
That's what we say. All right, thank you, Daryl.
Thanks, D.
Bye.
Tempted to trade one of these picks tonight. Would you be tempted to... to trade these picks again?
One of our callers last segment said, you know, the Bears move up, take Travion Henderson. You move down a couple of spots, pick up another second-round pick. I'd be tempted to do that. I would.
It just depends on who you want at running back. Like, if that's where you want to go, I mean, you might want a wide receiver. You might want something different. Or
you might want Caleb Johnson, a running back from Iowa. I'd be fine with that.
I'd be better with the two Ohio State guys over him, but okay, if that happened.
You like the Ohio State guys. That's okay.
Well, you know, winning that national championship kind of, you know, made me like them. And the way they split time the whole year.
I get it, but that
year,
doesn't mean they're – just because they won a national championship doesn't mean they're going to be a better pro.
I don't know. I like Henderson a lot.
Yeah, I know you do. And you should.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's going to be a better pro.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the things we're doing today, and I want to thank Daryl Ryder for joining us. If you missed any of that, you can always go to the Odyssey app and check it out. John Jansen's going to be with us at 1 o'clock, so we'll talk to him in less than 20 minutes. about the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, Mason Graham, and how he's going to be able to affect the defense and what he is bringing to Northeast Ohio when he plays for the Browns.
Yeah, color analyst for Michigan.
Right. So you'll be able to hear him coming up. So Eric Edholm was at 11:20. You can listen to that. And Daryl Ryder was with us for the entire hour so far. So you can go back and listen to any of those things. Plus Daryl's podcast with me, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, is available on the Odyssey app. All right, Lou, still, your reaction. It's really a Browns Therapy Friday as we talk about the draft. Richie, my man, is in Cleveland. Hi, Richie.
Richie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Been a little while, but
too long.
I had to call in and chime in, and you know, I kind of been suffering since the Mike Phipps era. So you know,
was that an era, Richie?
Yeah. For me, it was.
That was a couple of sad years.
Yeah, Mike Phipps, Bo Scott, Gloucester, Richardson, Fairhooker.
Fairhooker. But then again, who doesn't, right, Richie?
Right on. Here's the deal, man. I'm happy with what they did. I really am. I mean, cooler heads prevailed. Hey, Shador, nothing against him. He's going to want to go to a place where his star can shine bright. He's not going to want to toil in the frigid wasteland of a team that's in the midst of another rebuilding program.
He might end up here, though. You never know.
It could, but I like the idea of getting the foundational building blocks, a tough defensive lineman. If they want to get another offensive lineman or a running back, I'd be cool with that too, or help in the secondary. And, I mean, if you want to snag a flyer for a quarterback with one of your last picks, I guess I'd be okay with that. But if you want to wait till next year, if you think that's a lot better quarterback class, I'm cool with that too. So, like I said, once again, I hope cooler heads also prevail again tonight and they don't jump the shark and reach for somebody. And I'm happy, man. What can I say? I'm feeling really good.
Richie, thank you. Appreciate it. Well, this is like old friends week. It's like a reunion time. Big Jumbo found his way to the Midday Show. Hi, Big Jumbo.
Big Jumbo.
Hey, this is Andy Baskins and Mr. Phelps. This is Big Jumbo calling to give the show some help. My guys, how you doing, man?
Good. Are you dry? If you're dry, can you turn down your radio?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the speaker. I'm sorry because when I got out, I'm on here.
I'm on my, before I was on my other thing. This probably sounds a lot better.
Way better.
I'm pulling my Barney Rubble or Fred Flintstone thing over here at the Stone Yard. Come on.
Cool.
Anyways, guys, a couple quick items. First of all, the gentleman called before, and he's talking about heaps of praise on Haslam and all them people. And I thought to myself, and I told him the same thing I told my season ticket guys, because they really worked hard to try and keep me staying on. But after 8 years, I just defaulted and said I can't do it no more. It's just, I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just saying it was just, it's got ugly. And I said, when they asked me about it, I said, every year I got to pay for preseason games. But not one year in the years I was involved or since they've been back have we had a home playoff game. And if that doesn't resonate with people, that's why a lot of people are disappointed. So don't sit there and keep anything on Haslam because he's running the show and these are the people we put out there. He needs to be held to the fire. He knows it himself because he said it himself. Did he or did he not put the blame of himself basically of this job they did?
With swing and a miss.
Look, we're going to throw that out in the side.
Okay.
I like the idea of the trade. I like picking up the parts. Getting some extra pieces, possibly going for this quarterback next year, doing what they did. I have no problem with it. I knew it was coming. I could tell. We all sort of, anybody who said they didn't feel it. And you know, and like I think Ken said this morning, he says our general manager, Andrew Berry, basically made the move not for himself to make him look good, but to make the team better because this is going to make the team better in the long run. And my question to you is, we always hear about when the new general manager would come in, these weren't his players. Now, what happens if we have a tragic year this year? And I have some finally says, I've had enough with these guys.
Then he's handed the next general manager a very, very nice basket of goodies when he walks in the door.
Yeah, but what happens if all these guys that we picked this year ain't what that guy likes? That's the scary part.
And it's time to start trading and bring in some and figure out how to do it.
Happens all the time, though, Jumbo.
I gave you a love it, right? You had the choices, love it, hate it, or let's see, you went with love it, right?
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you, what did you pick? Did you pick love it, hate it, or let's see?
Well, let's see. We're going to have to wait and see. It's all, listen, we've seen great guys come out and now good. We've seen Tom Brady pop out of nowhere. We've seen Mr. Relevant True. Play football. So it's always a wait and see.
All right.
I'm being honest with you guys, but I want to say one thing.
Sure.
Tomorrow at 1, let's get them rocking down to Miami and go Cavs.
There you go. Big Jumbo, thank you. Say hi to Mr. Slate for me.
Good to have you with us, Jumbo. The guys in the back were saying, this guy named Jumbo is yelling at me over the speaker. I said, hey, Jumbo's back.
Jumbo. Let's go with Dave in North Homestead. Hi, Dave.
Hello, David.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Do you have a box check for annual disappointment?
Yeah, that's disability.
the last 25 years.
So hate it. Hate it?
Absolutely. Let me... Andy, you're the king of analogies, right?
Yeah, not the king. More like the jester.
Prince.
You're the jester. Got one for you.
Go for it.
You guys are all familiar with the fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. That's what I'm seeing every year with these guys.
Magic beans. Huh?
Magic beans. They got the bird in the hand, but they need the two in the bush. They got Travis Hunter, the number one, everything, everybody, and they got a trade away. They take the cash cow, in this case, this year it was Travis Hunter, and they traded him away for some magic beans. And that's what I see.
All right.
Let's wait till next year. Let's wait till next year. Every year for the last 25 years, let's wait till next year. Let's take some draft picks that we never see anything happen with. And we trade away good talent. Every year we seem to have a great opportunity to draft somebody and make this team better, but we play this numbers game. I just don't get it. It never seems to amount to anything. What do you guys think?
Dave, thank you. Appreciate it. I tend to agree with you in the general. I just feel like, and again, we're in the middle of it. Like we are right now. Halfway to Canada, just sitting in the middle of Lake Erie, if you want an analogy, because we just don't know what it's going to look like on the other side. And you can sit here and say, this was great. This was amazing. I thought it was, how could you walk away from that? And then we're going to watch Travis Hunter, and we'll see what he does. And if he's the MVP of the league year after year, we're going to sit here, and we are going to play the wheel of regret.
Which is why it's a let's see trade.
Yeah, it's
Andy, he could end up being phenomenal. He could end up being a really good wide receiver. And if he's a really good wide receiver or just a really good corner, one or the other, then and Mason Graham turns out to be good and they get Travion Henderson or they get, you know, somebody, they get Jalen Milroe and he turns into your quarterback in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of ways this could go in the Browns' favor. I think the only way it goes against the Browns, truly, the only way this blows up in their face is if Travis Hunter puts together a Hall of Fame type of career and becomes... You know, like on offense, if he becomes Tyreek Hill, oops.
John Jansen's going to join us in about 10 minutes. He is the color analyst for the Michigan Wolverines. He'll give us more on Mason Graham. Q is in Cleveland. Go for it, Q.
What's up, Q?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, man, you know what? I hated it, Andy. Jeff, I hated it. And I'm going to tell you why I hated it. I'm not a hater of the actual haul we got. That's not the problem. The problem is, as of my years as a Browns fan, and I'm 54, Andrew Berry couldn't pick Jason Voorhees out of a police lineup with a hockey mask on. It's just every single time, man.
It's the sweater that throws him off all the time. It's the sweater.
That was really good, Q.
It's just like they said, Jeff, you know, he's good at trades.
Yeah.
You know, Daryl Ryder hit it right on the head. We've been through this episode time and time again.
Q, the draft record's not good. I mean, let's just be honest. His draft record is not good.
We never get that generational talent. He's right there in our face, and we never take him. We never take them. It's like I was telling a person like the about males. When we get to when we go to buy something expensive, we get to the button, but we never push it. And this is for guys. Maybe I'll get it next year. Maybe 2 years down the line, it'll still be there. And
dude, that's really true, by the way.
We never push the button.
And if we ever do, then we have buyer's remorse.
There you go, Jeff. And that's where we are. We are in water waist high, and an extension cord is dangling over the water. That's where we are.
All right, Q. I got you as hated. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Oh, you too.
Have a good weekend.
It's really true about guys, you know. We just say, "Hey, I'll get it later. I don't need it." Yeah, I got it. And then you buy it, and you're like, "Oh, what the hell did I do that for?"
Hmm. Yeah, why not put off to tomorrow what you shouldn't have done today?
Just what Q said about spending money. Andy.
I know.
That's all he's talking about.
All right, here's the situation. I still want to hear from all of you because we want to give you the opportunity to take it off your chest. So hang tight. We are going to get to you at 216-474-0092. We'll read some stuff off of CLE Talking Heads as well, but we want to get more insight into Mason Graham. How do we do that? Let's talk to a man that has followed his entire college career. He is John Jansen, and he is the Michigan color analyst. He joins us next on Baskin and Phelps.